All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this, Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, this is real talk. I am not afraid of what's happening in the pandemic financially because this is not my first financial crisis. And I've been broke before. So
we have definitely been collectively broke.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? If I had to be broke with anybody, I'd want to be broke with you.
You saying that because you've already been broke with me.
Dead ass, baby.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. Mm-hmm. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Dead Ass starts right now.
Okay, so this story time takes place about two times decades apart. 2009, I told this story before. 2009, come back from the NFL, lose a lot of money during the economic crisis, during the recession. Boom, me and Kadeen move back to our apartment, and we have no money.
None.
I get cut by the NFL. Kadeen is not working. We lose a lot of money in the stock market and in the
doing all
markets.
The right things.
Doing all the right things.
Just so you know. We so wasn't just, out here throwing, you know, cash in the strip clubs and whatnot.
Exactly.
I mean, we threw a little cash.
Buying chains, buying cars. You did throw a little
bit
of cash.
I threw a little cash. Yes. Just a little bit.
So I just want to start there so people know that that's where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 2020. The pandemic starts to happen in March. They start to shut down. And the first thing going through my mind is, how can I pivot? Mm-hmm. So immediately, I'm thinking about the fact that I probably won't be filming. We won't be able to do any events. We won't be able to do the Deadass podcast tour. Because that was, you know, going to be huge for us.
Yes.
And it was, what is the most important thing right now? Mm-hmm. Digital marketing, digital content. So you know what I did? Decided to sit down and create more content. Mm-hmm. Put all my finances into a secure place, speak with my financial advisors, and focused on how to recreate myself. And ultimately, that's what I did for the next 3 months.
Recreated
who we were in the digital space.
You know, when we talk about finances, money, dollars, coins, the bag, whatever y'all want to talk about securing.
Your voice automatically get nasal. Like it
automatically,
does.
I start to think of my girl and her song. I was born to flex, diamonds on my neck. I like more than just, I like more than sex.
Yes, you
but
do.
Nothing in this world, I like more than checks. Money, all I really want to see is a...
Get it, baby.
I don't really need the D, I need the... Oh, but, hey, I got bands in the coupe, busting out the roof. I got
bands
in the coupe. Touch me, I'll shoot. Or maybe I won't, but you know, hey.
Let me tell you something, yo. You do get super excited about spending money.
Hey, I get excited about making it too, though, equally.
So you can spend it.
Yeah.
I get more excited about making it. I don't really care that much about spending it.
A lot has happened. Talk about the shift, though. Talk about the shift because, you know, we had the moment in time, like you said, in story time back in 2009.
Yes.
Where, you know, we were living a pretty decent life. You were in the NFL. You know, we made the right investments with money. We were doing our thing.
Yes.
And then lost all of that.
Yes.
In doing the right thing. So we went back to rock bottom. And then there was a greater respect that I'd gained as well for having to rebuild. And then through rebuilding, now I got a little Scrooge McDuck in me.
You got a little Scrooge McDuck in me.
You know, you and I, I think, are more apt to help others as well, too. So it's like, all right.
Absolutely.
You know, and I feel like that's why we've continued to be blessed because we're able to create a space and a platform where we can now employ, you know, people who were friends, but also professionals, families who are professionals with their respective fields.
Yes.
You know, so I feel like that's why we continue to be blessed.
And I've said it on this platform before. And I've said it to you that I want to be super rich and famous so that I could help provide opportunities for other people.
For
like
sure.
That is my goal. I want to be super duper rich and famous for that sole purpose.
Right.
Like I want to be able to create jobs, create industries, move markets. I really want to be able to do that. And I want to do that for my people. I want to do that for the people who look like me, or the people who've gone through the struggle that we've gone through. I want to do that. So.
No, I am right there with you. I'm right there with you. And I mean, if there's one thing the pandemic taught us, and it's that if you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well,
however, we were not prepared for something of this magnitude. Like, let's be real. Who really thought that the entire country, world, for that matter, was going to shut down to the extent that it did?
Well,
you know,
I wasn't prepared for a pandemic. But after going through everything I went through in 2009, I was super prepared for trying to maintain my finances and try to pivot. Like, to me, the pivot was the easiest part because
It was like muscle memory for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was also just thinking ahead, like trying to be ahead of the curve. Like, you start to say, I can't do this forever.
Yes.
You know, we've been saying that
like, what's
for
next?
The past 3 years.
Like, well, you mean in terms of like our content, for example, vlogging and all that, right?
No, just with everything. I mean, even with the podcast, because we didn't know if we were going to be able to record. We didn't know if we were going to be able to go back into the studio.
Right.
So I'm like, I may not be able to create content forever.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I do to generate revenue to provide for my family?
Right.
And I've been thinking about that for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
So when the pandemic hit, it was almost like, I've been thinking about different things.
So
it kind of forced me to move. You know what I'm saying? Look at different industries. How can I make money? How can I do different investments? What you know, what can I do to create some revenue and diversify?
So that's you would say was the main difference for you with 2009 DeVal and 2020 DeVal when
Absolutely.
It comes to finances.
Absolutely, because in 2009 I was playing football thinking that, well, I'm gonna play until I don't wanna play no more.
Right.
You never think that it's gonna end before you're ready for it to end, you know? So even though I was tired of playing football, I wasn't ready to be done playing at that moment. I still wanted to make a little bit more money and secure myself financially. But then it came to an abrupt end. And at that time, I'd had no clue where I was lost. I was depressed. I was mad. I was angry. I blamed everybody. I blamed you. I blamed my agent. I blamed the teams. I blamed the NFL. I blamed my parents. You know, because I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that I couldn't do what I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, so when this happened, and the first thing that was going through my mind is like, shoot, you know, we can't do the podcast. I can't film. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, those are the biggest ways that we make money.
It was absolutely, and then I'm like,
well, brand partnerships.
I thought about different events that I was going to, so, or supposed right. to be going to right. speak or to attend.
Right.
And it was just like, ugh. Like you said, like you literally watch it. Think about the money that you have coming because you're yes. planning for that.
Yes.
Which is why my dad actually has always said to me, don't spend your money before you get it.
Absolutely.
Because something may fall through and then you don't have that bag that you thought you secured. And it's a whole fumble on the plane and what?
In March. You know? Do you remember March?
I remember March.
We made 15% of what our monthly salary usually is. Mm-hmm. And in March, I was preparing to go back to Film Sisters. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know mm-hmm. when that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So we were preparing our 2020 year based on our first two months.
Right.
January, February.
Or based on the year before. We're like, okay, we have.
So then that number goes down to 15%. And then right. it's like, how long is this going to last?
Just like, if anything, that incremental increase should have been 15%. Absolutely. Not making 15% of your month. You know what
and
I mean?
That hurt. But
yeah.
because of where I was before, I always put money aside. Mm-hmm. And this is just a tip I'm going to give you guys. When you're making money, I was putting money aside so that we could survive 2 years without either one of us working.
Right.
So that if worst case scenario, something happened and we could not work for 2 years, mm-hmm. we could at least pay our mortgage, mm-hmm. pay our rent, pay mm-hmm. our car notes.
Right. Whatever those kids, monthly expenses
all
were.
Those monthly expenses are covered. Put right. that in a separate account. So mm-hmm. I just knew. And what I'm doing now continuously is I'm adding to that account.
Right.
So now it's like, okay, we can exist 2 years. Oh, we're making more money. Let's add 3 years. Let's right. add 4 years. Okay. We could exist 5 years without doing anything right. because we have money in savings.
Right.
You know, we would have to live modestly. Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is, we could still live the way we were. So
right.
after that after
emergency
the NFL,
fund became
yes,
like,
yes, very
in case of emergency fund was actually
yes.
an emergency. So many people experience job loss and financial stress following the coronavirus outbreak. And how can we better prepare ourselves financially in anticipation for another global crisis? Since mid-March, the coronavirus pandemic has taken a toll on life as we know it, and the world has not only been impacted physically by the effects of the virus, but because of mandates that we quarantine at home, the economic impact has been devastating. Millions of Americans have suffered a loss of income and employment over the better part of the year with no end in sight. And in August, about 3.3 million people aged 25 and over with bachelor's degrees or higher were unemployed, up 1.2 million since February, and that's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Yes.
So, you know, we need all the help right now. We need yes. all the help. We need to figure out what are some ways that we can strategically put ourselves into a position financially yes. to kind of overcome this and get our footing underneath us again. So joining us again on Dead yes. Ass Podcast, we're always
She's
calling
a dead ass
in.
Regular.
Let me tell you, she is just a regular with us. Tiffany Alice, the budget nista as we know her best,
yes.
is back to help us make sense of this financial impact of COVID-19, the pandemic, and what we can do to combat those effects. Tiffany! What's up, sis?
Hey, what's up? Hey, glad to be back.
Let me tell you, anytime I be talking about that money, on the money, I said, yes. let me call Tiffany because she knows
yes.
what TF to do.
Yes.
Okay? How have you yes. been, girl, since the last time we spoke?
I've been good, though. I mean, I'm lucky, blessed, highly favored. Everyone Amen. Is healthy, so that's what matters most. So I've been good. What about y'all?
We've been good. We've been good. Yeah. Just, you know, like everyone's doing now, trying to find ways to pivot mm-hmm. and plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. You know,
right,
Kadeen
right.
and I talk all the time, and I say, you know, the biggest empires are built during times of catastrophe.
Yes.
So right now is a catastrophe. Yep. So whoever's prepared will probably come out on top of this. So
right.
I want to take this time and use our platform to help as many listeners as possible mm-hmm. plan their come up. So you're the
right.
best person to talk to, especially as an entrepreneur. Right now, the entrepreneurial spirit is probably the greatest spirit in America because so many people have lost mm-hmm. traditional jobs.
Right.
Those who are able to make additional funds,
right.
the entrepreneurs are the ones who are able to capitalize.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Tiffany,
yeah. depending on the field,
talk
I mean,
to the people
it's
and
lit.
Tell us what we need
yes.
to be doing.
Well, that's, I'm sure, a loaded question for you, Tiffany. I mean, you can unpack that however you'd like, telling us where the hell to start.
Well, I'll say this, that I actually built the Budgetista, which is now 8 figures a year. Woo, woo. During the pandemic, we had our first seven-figure month, a second seven-figure month, a third seven-figure month. So now we're eight figures a year. Mm-hmm. So, but I built the budget, Nista, during the last recession, 2008, 2009. So to y'all point, that it's times like this are when most millionaires are made, quite honestly. And the thing is, what you're seeing is something that could have been anticipated, not the pandemic, not Corona, but the recession.
Right.
Because so first things first is, if I had to say, you know, what I would have told, I'm going to share what I wish I would have told. Well, I was a preschool teacher back then, what I would have told preschool teacher Tiffany back then. Right. So first things first is to understand every 10 to 15 years in the US of A, we have a recession. So meaning that, so you're feeling this now, you're like, oh my goodness, it's such unique times. The pandemic, yes. A recession, no. We will be back here, but how will it meet you? You know, how will it meet you?
And I mean, it makes sense because 2009 was when the economic crisis hit, when Obama became president. And that's when Kadeen and I were going. And I remember feeling at that time, like, this is the worst thing to ever happen. I'm not making any money. And then when 2020 hit and the recession, just like I was prepared, I was like, okay, I've been here before. It's time to utilize that capital that I had been saving for something.
Differently. Yes. 2009 versus
so
now.
So one, first things first, I would have told Tiffany back then is that, girl, where is your savings? So when you do get on your feet, because you will not always be in this position, I need people to set aside ideally 6 months of what I call your noodle budget. Like, that is if you, if I had to eat ramen noodles budget, we, you know, sometimes you gotta drop down and get your noodle on.
I love it.
Right. So that's just your bare bones essential budget. So let's just say your regular budget includes nails, hair, movies, Netflix, all that stuff. Your noodle budget just pays for the necessary expenses. Because if you were to lose your job, you should pivot to your noodle budget right away. It's a temporary low-cost life. That's what your noodle budget is.
So you were ahead of the curve.
You want to have 6 months of that set aside. Because imagine if you would have had 6 months of your noodle budget set aside and you lost your job, say, during March, April, right? So then you would have had April, May, June, July, August, September. You would have just now been running out of money. You would have had some time to pivot and figure something out. You know? So that's first things first. Second thing, during times like this, I tell people that not to go overboard with paying off so much debt if you don't have your savings or if you think your job is like in limbo, if I was a doctor or a nurse right now, I'm not worried. But if I was, you know, I work for a restaurant and maybe we just open back up again, but you never, you just don't know which way it's going to go. You know, or I work for, my sister's an engineer. She worked for a party planning. Like they do these, like, these big events company where she, as an engineer, has to figure out like the configuration of like the things that they would build for people's parties. So, you know, she's like, it's likely not going to happen that I'm going back. You know, knowing that that's happening, I don't want people to go overboard with paying off debt because you need to keep that money that close to you. Because you're going to need to pay for food, clothing, you know, where you live. You're going to need to pay for your noodle budget expenses. And third, what I would tell people, and I wish I knew this because I had a, I bought a condo when I was 25. I thought I was grown. I was like, hey, you can't tell me nothing, you know, right? My little two bedroom, one bath condo. And then, but then when I was 29, my school closed its doors during the recession. It was a nonprofit school. They didn't have any funding. And I continued to pay the mortgage. I mean, I used all my savings to pay the mortgage. I withdrew all the money from my retirement account to pay the mortgage. Cause I was like, oh no, I'm going to pay this mortgage. And guess what happened? I lost the house anyway. So now they got my retirement money. They got my savings. They have everything. I have no house and no money. And I wish I would have told Tiffany then, like, that that you are more important than your debt. That instead, if you don't think 100% you could save this house, if you don't think 100% that this house should be able to maintain it and keep it, then keep your money, sis, because either way, it's going to end Yes. And I could have at least let it go and had my retirement money. Let it go and maintain my savings. I put all my bills above my best interest.
You see, that's
so what I was left with.
And that's I probably important. Would have done the same thing.
No, I think that's important to talk about because we have been so conditioned to like not let things go.
Right.
So, for example, I remember when my boy Bilal, when he was, you know, going through a little bit of economic issue and he was working hard, but he had a condo. He bought his first condo at 23, same thing in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And he had told me during the economic crisis, he said, bro, I'm about to let this condo go. And I remember saying, what?
Right.
I'm like, you can't just stop paying.
All I can see is my credit. Like, what's going on? I'm like, you can't.
He said, my credit's going to get fixed.
Yeah.
But I can't just give them all my cash and then probably lose it a couple years later.
Yeah.
And when he told me that, and once again, he's you know, he works for BlackRock. Mm-hmm. He's in finances, so he understands the importance of debt to cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood that. And I wanted to ask you, how does someone decide what's the important amount of debt and cash flow to maintain? You know, is it how much they make per month? You know, like how does someone decide what number makes sense for them?
One, you have to decide whether you have regular cash flow. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is a job that's going to continue to pay me. I'm pretty certain the money's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Like I said, if I was a doctor or a nurse right now, I would be pretty certain it would have to, something crazy would have to happen for me to lose my job. Right. So knowing like, okay, my cash flow, let's just say $5,000 a month is pretty secure.
Okay.
Right? And so your debt that leaves out of the house, right? So that's your debt to income ratio. This is actually what mortgage people look at. They look to see how much your monthly income is versus how much your monthly debt payments are.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And so they don't want more than they don't want more than I think it's like a 40% of your income to be leaving before your mortgage, because they also like between 40 to 50%, because they also know that your house is going to cost you about 30%.
Right.
You know, so they're like, okay, if we use up 30 and you're already using up 40 to 50%, that leaves you 30 for the rest. That leaves you an additional 20 to 30 for the rest of your life. Is that reasonable?
Is that reasonable?
You know,
right.
And so,
so
ideally the lower your debt, the better. That's what I tell people, like save your debt for things like a mortgage, for things like, you know, like maybe you had to pay off, you know, I don't know, you had some sort of health thing that you had to pay for.
Right.
Save your debt for, you know, I don't even like really people getting financing a car, but sometimes you just can't help it because you got to get to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Like when you have a lamp bill, you got a side table bill, a couch bill, that's when you swipe your car. So now you have all this debt for things that could wait.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the issue. Most people's debt is not because of this. It's like their big bills. It's like, oh, my laptop. Oh, you know, I had to get that side table. Oh, you know, but the Yeezys came out. So, you know, I had to swipe the car.
I'm
like, you got a Yeezy bill, right? You're like, and so before you know it, all the money that comes in is dedicated to someone else.
Right.
So you want to be mindful of that flow. Like, how much money do I have coming in versus how much money am I actually keeping? That's actually what they call your savings rate.
Right.
What percentage of your money are you keeping? That's what's critically important.
Savings rate.
Like, I would never tell Oprah, you can't get Yeezys, because I'm certain that the amount of money that she has coming in versus what she has coming out, you know, is there's a huge significant difference.
Right.
Right.
Preschool teacher Tiffany, I think I was making like, I want to say 20, maybe like take home pay, maybe like $3,000 a month, maybe $26 to $3,000 a month. And so I had to be mindful, like, okay, well, what is going to be my savings rate?
Right.
Ideally, I wanted 30% of my money to stay with me, 20% for investing and retirement, and then 10% for savings.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I live under that 70%? If you did that first, if you paid yourself first in that way, if you said, okay, especially for you, y'all who are really young, you're just stepping out, getting your first job. This is what I do with my bonus baby. She's 13 and she don't even know. She just got her little side job. She's babysitting and stuff. I'm finna snatch some of that money. I'm like, oh, you got money? Oh, that's cute. 30% of it, put it up, because I want to teach her that you are more important than any of your bills.
Mm. Pay yourself first.
Put up your 30% first, and then you figure out your life with that 70%.
You're going to do her like your dad did you, remember?
I know, like my dad did me, exactly. Because she don't know nothing about that life. Right? See, she living way nicer than I was living.
That's generations. That's how it is. Generations.
That's how
she gets the Jordans. I'm like, oh, you got three pairs of Jordans? Last time I checked, I just got Jordans as a grown person.
Right. Like, oh, over here, too. I was like, wait a second. I'm all of a sudden a sneakerhead now. And I mean, I'm nothing about sneakers. I can actually afford sneakers now. Well, somehow,
you got Jordans because you didn't get Jordans because your parents are from the West Indies. And
what that got to do with anything?
That you were spoiled in other ways. Not having Jordans.
So I was spoiled. I just wasn't stylish.
You wasn't stylish.
Yes, exactly. I didn't have to. My dad was like, who's Jordan? Who's Michael Jordan? And you know Michael Jordan? I'm like... But we did have like tennis lessons and stuff, right?
You see what I'm saying?
I will say this, right? But so this is what I tell. This is not just what I tell like my mentees, but also even grown folks. I was listening to this podcast interview with what's his face, Dame Dash, right? Mm-hmm. And he said something that was so profound. I'm like, yo, if I got a tattoo, it would be that. It's that the purpose of working is to own, so that way the things that you own will eventually put you out of work.
That's what I tell Jackson.
Yes.
Why do we go to work?
You're not,
to build capital.
Yes.
Why do you build capital?
Yes.
To make your money work for you.
Me and Jackson say that every night.
I love that because here's what happens. What most people do, they work, they pay bills. They work, they get a haircut. They work, they go out. They work, they have fun. They work, they work, they work.
Yeah.
But there's no end to that cycle.
You're just working.
If you don't, if you're not intentional with, I am working to own assets. Assets put money into your pocket. So assets are cash, assets are home, assets are real estate, assets are like maybe art, even jewelry can be assets, right? So things that, assets are business.
Right.
So
things that have appreciation value.
Purchase.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that way one day that real estate property that you bought, that business that you have, that cash that you can live off of, the assets that you now that asset is put to work and you can sit down. But most people work to work. They don't work to own. And if they thought about that from the very beginning, they'd be in a better spot.
See, but this is where people get Dame confused. Mm-hmm. Because Dame talks down on people who, you have a boss. You have a boss. I never had a boss. Mm-hmm. And I remember he got into an argument with DJ Envy. And DJ Envy was like, okay, you never had a boss, but you sold drugs. You worked for somebody. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah, I got my drugs on consignment. Okay, dude. It doesn't matter whether you got the drugs on consignment. Technically, there was someone above you who allowed you to generate cash flow.
Right.
And where I really rock with Dame is where I agree with him. You really only work to create cash flow so that you can own something that creates cash flow for you.
Yes.
That is the goal. And I think that's what people need to understand. And I think that's what Black people need to understand. Because even my mom's generation, my dad's generation, your parents, having a good job was the American dream.
That's it.
I got a good job. I can retire at 65. I got my pension.
Clock my hours.
Yep.
That was never the American dream. No. The American dream is ownership.
Yep. Which we didn't have access to readily available. Right. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to
all they knew was that. And I can
loans.
Understand that. Oh, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. That my dad, that's all they want. A doctor, lawyer, pharmacist, engineer.
That's
you good to go. But
that's it.
If like now they're like, my Tiffany said it's an entrepreneur. I'm like, now that I pay off your house, right? Now your house is paid off.
Now that's cute.
Allowance every month.
That's cute.
Now the entrepreneur is cute. A minute ago, it was she ain't got no job.
Girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me tell you, your father and my father should meet and have a drink because they are the same person. And I still, to this day, it wasn't till the pandemic happened and my father was quarantined with us. Both of my parents were living with us for the 4 months that we were like really locked down. And, you know, my dad saw us like pulling up the ring light and the cameras and this and that. And he's just like, so wait, you record a thing and then put it on YouTube? What does this do? That make you money? I'm like, yes. Who does pay you? You have a boss on YouTube? I'm like, no, we don't have a boss on YouTube. But, you know, he just could not wrap his mind around that unconventional way to him of making money.
Yes.
So here's my thing.
Ownership is key.
So I got for you the number one way. Pay yourself first. Now, when you say your savings rate 30%, are we talking net or gross? I would think net.
Well, I mean, it can be tricky. I always like at least start with net. I mean, ideally, yes, gross. Hmm. But if you're just starting out and things are tight, then at least you would start with net. Because what you're wanting to do is get into the practice of setting aside. Because people think like that it means you're living less of a life when you set aside. That's why I like to start people off slow. Like, oh, you can only do 5%? Do that. Right. Or you can do 10% of net? Okay, fine. But yes, ideally setting aside 30% of gross. But it can be hard to set aside 30% of gross because guess who also gets gross? The IRS.
And people need to understand the difference between net and gross.
Yes.
Gross is, say, for example, if you get paid $10, you made $10. That's gross. Net is the IRS going to take four of that $10. So the net.
And FICA and LICA and all the mother.
Right. And all right. That stuff. So you about to get $3 out of the $10 you thought you was getting. Yes. So that $3 you actually mm-hmm. getting your check, that's net. Mm-hmm. So people need to understand the difference mm-hmm. between gross and net. When you're making plans, if you're making plans on gross, understand that other people are going to get part of that money first. So I just want to be clear.
Well, here's how you can offset that. It's mm-hmm. that's the beauty of a tax advantage retirement account, right? So if you mm-hmm. do a 401k, mm-hmm. you can set aside 20% of your gross, because that is the one thing the IRS allows you to do.
Yes.
And they'll say, okay, Kadeem Deval, you guys made $10. Wait, mm-hmm. before we take our tax money, do you want to put some in your 401k?
Yes.
Because guess what? We don't want to take care of you when you get old.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, of the 10, I would like to put $2 in my 401k. Then the IRS says, mm-hmm. fine, we will not tax you on 10. We will tax you on 8.
There you go.
And so that it lowers your taxes now. So then what happens is, but later, anytime if you're over 59 and a half, then you can start withdrawing that money right. without any penalty, and you pay taxes on it later.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. then there's another tax advantage account called a Roth IRA. It is mm-hmm. also a retirement account, but then that's where you can put some of your net money. Because okay. what happens is you have your take home pay, mm-hmm. and then you might say, you know what, I'm going to put the other 5-10% in my Roth IRA mm-hmm. account. And that is money that's already been taxed. And the beauty of a Roth account is that the money was already taxed.
Already taxed.
You put money in that account. And then when 59 and a half or above, you pull that money out, you don't have to pay taxes on that money or what it grew to. Mm-hmm. So right. if you put in 10,000 and it's now 60,000, that whole 60, you ain't got to worry about it. You don't have to pay taxes on it because you pay taxes on the money going in.
That's
so
huge.
So this is like, so people always wow. wonder like what you should do first, second. So I suggest a seesaw. Well, first let me say this. I'm a financial educator. I'm your financial girlfriend. I'm not your financial advisor.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
But I'm sharing. Well, I'm just sharing in general. This is like my attorney, right? So what I'm sharing right. are just the things that I do
that you
to
do.
Your grandma.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
There yes. you go.
All right. Now, so if you are like, because someone asked me this the other day, where should I put my money for retirement? And I mm-hmm. said, one, if your company offers a match, then start with your 401k up to that match.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So if they say, you know, you put in 3% and we'll put in 2%, right. whatever it is that they'll give you, get your match money there first mm-hmm. and then stop.
It's free money.
Then the excess money, if you still have money left over after getting your match with them, because you're right, your match is free money, mm-hmm. then I would max out my Roth. If you're under 50 years old, you could put in $6,000. And here's why I want you to max out your Roth is that you can only have a Roth if you are, I can't remember how much it is for a couple, but if mm-hmm. you are single and you make under $139,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So you have a limited time frame if you're going to make big money to contribute to a Roth
account.
Remember, a Roth is when you could pull your money out tax-free later.
Tax-free, no matter how much it grows.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Right. Exactly. So you want to take it. A Roth is awesome. So you want to take advantage. Like, I can't do a Roth anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? So you want to get while the getting is good. So I am 401k first up to the match. If there's no match or you've already maxed out your 401k, go to Roth. Mm. And then after you max out your Roth, so it's right now $6,000 a year if you're under 50. If you're over 50, it's $7,000. So if you can't do the Roth or you max out your Roth already, then go back to your 401k if you still have money. And then you can max out your 401k.
Okay.
Man, let me tell you, Tiffany got me over here wondering if Sean is doing all. We got to call our financial advisor and make sure he's on top of it.
Can we talk about financial? So here's the thing about financial advisors.
Okay.
So people are like, what's a financial advisor? What's a financial planner? What's a financial, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a financial advisor is the overall name of those people who give you advice.
Right.
Now, there are different types of financial advisors. There could be like an investment advisor who helps you with investing. Mm-hmm. There could be a planner. Mm-hmm. But ideally, the ideal type of financial advisor you want is a certified financial planner.
Great. Yes. That's
because
who we got.
Here's why. But certified, that key word is certified.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because to be certified, a CFP. They have to have 3 years of experience mm-hmm. and they have to have passed a hard-ass test mm-hmm. in order. And they have all this vetting in order to be certified, because almost anyone calls themselves a financial advisor.
Listen, so people doing their due diligence, finding that board certified plastic surgeon, do the same with your financial advisor, please.
Yes.
So that's a
So get yourself a CFP, certified financial plan. And then there's different ways they can get paid. The three main ways are This is, they make it so confusing. There's fee only, fee based, commission. I feel like commission is easy. You know what commission is? That just means that if they sell you something like insurance, they get paid off.
They get paid off of
that. That is the worst one, right? Because my dad used to say, right?
Yes.
What? Because my dad would say, he who pays the piper determines the tune, right? For the young ones, whoever pays the DJ, you get to play, you get to pick the music.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So there you go. Absolutely.
If the financial planner is getting paid from the product, what? They're not thinking about you.
Right.
They worried about what the product gonna pay
them. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So commission-based, we not for commission-based. Mm-hmm. Next is this is what I have. I have fee only, my CFP. So fee only is ideal because when you have someone who's fee only, it means they only get their fee from you.
Absolutely. Which means you are the interest.
You are paying the DJ.
There you go.
Yes. And they have a fiduciary. Yes. That means that they are a fiduciary, meaning that by law, they have to put your interest first. And yes. They don't. So shout out to my CFP, Anjali. So Anjali might say, which she did, Tiffany, you're underinsured. You should get more insurance. Now, a fee-based or commission-based financial planner might sell me the insurance. Anjali, she already got her money. Mm. She gets a flat rate from me.
Right.
And so she's just telling me, girl, you need more insurance.
This is what you need to do.
Call your insurance company and see exactly. So it doesn't, she's not giving me advice based upon what can add money to her pocket because there is nothing.
There's no conflict of interest.
Her flat fee. Yeah. Exactly. There There's no conflict of interest. So you're looking for a fee-only financial advisor that it's only you that's paying them. So that those are because if you like fee-based folks sometimes will get their flat fee from you, but then they also can make commissions off of things on the back end.
Right.
I'm not interested in working with someone who gets paid to sell me something.
So Tiffany, since we're talking about the pandemic, right? And a lot of people have lost jobs, right? Mm-hmm. I wanna know who in today's world really needs a financial planner. And if you don't need one, how can you prepare your life if you don't make enough income to, you know, particularly have a financial planner? What are the steps? The first thing I have right now, the number one, pay yourself first. Mm-hmm. I'm putting that. That's going to be one of my keys to success.
Yes.
But what else can things do? What else can people do if they do not need?
They can sign up for Tiffany's courses and online and all that.
Most people don't need financial planners because you really should have. Like ideally, they say you should have about $100,000 to $250,000 worth of assets to invest, you know, because there are fees involved in it. It may not make sense if you don't have that much, but you have maybe say you have a special needs child, you might need a little assistance because there are fees associated. When it comes to your money, the closer it gets to a human hand helping you, the more expensive it's going to be,
okay.
Like the fees. So a financial planner is the most expensive of all the help.
Okay.
Right? So you can also use something called like a robo advisor. This is an algorithm, right? So robo advisors are like I'm trying to think like some robo, but like a Vanguard has a Charles Schwab, Fidelity.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's when you go and you typically with a robo advisor, you will put in your, you will like fill out some sort of like a survey to say, I'm this old and this is my temperament and all this kind of stuff. And they will generate, this is where your money should go. We're going to put it there for you. Okay. So because it's not a person, the fees are less.
Got
right?
you.
Right. So that's something that you can do. Or also you can do something called, it's the DYI method. And that is a brokerage firm, a discount brokerage firm. So that's is it a Betterment? No, Betterment is not DYI, a brokerage firm. This is one of those firms like E-Trade, someplace where you can actually pick your things yourself.
Okay.
So this is for folks who are like I think E-Trade allows you to
do that,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and say, they don't really give you much help, but they say, you know, here are all the stocks and the bonds and everything else. You can pick those things yourself. So there's DYI, if you're someone who is like, I don't mind picking myself. There's Robo, where you're like, look, I just want to take a survey. Here's my $50 every month. And they put it places for you. Mm. Or there's a financial advisor. Financial advisor being the most expensive. DYI and Robo being the least expensive. Yes. Those are the fee you're looking for is usually called your expense ratio.
Right,
but
so
if you are someone, if you are during the pandemic, if you are fortunate to have excess money, and well, one, let's pull back. If you're not, there are people who are not going to have enough money even to pay for their noodle budget.
Right.
That's when you really want to get even lower to what I call your health and safety budget. Mm. That's when you have to acknowledge that somebody's not getting paid. But the things that will get paid are the things that maintain my health and the things that maintain my safety. And so I've been there before where I had to make a decision and say, Verizon, we cool, but not cooler than my health and safety. And I need my inhaler.
This is important. Right. This is important because right now is a pandemic. Mm-hmm. People are losing jobs and they're trying to figure out how to prioritize what needs to get paid. And it's a tough feeling to say, I don't know. You know, but here you're listening
to
someone. You
just got to go line by line.
That's right.
Because a lot of these companies, is it safe to say that they're not reassessing or reevaluating like interest payments or fees or any of that?
Well,
are they making
are,
any adjustments to giving leeway?
Because this is such a unique time, right? So it's such a unique time that companies are more lenient than they were before, but everybody's not being cool about it, you know?
Right, so
you don't just stop paying. You might look and say, I've got these 10 bills and of the 10 bills, these 4 bills are my health and safety bills. That's what I could afford. Everybody else, I'm going to be late.
Most important.
Mm-hmm. Right? So then the other ones you will call and say, hey, I'm having trouble. I mean, Corona, we all know. Is there something you could do to help? Many will help, but some will not because, you know, they're just whatever. They're not interested in being helpful. But here's the thing. As long as it's not going to affect your health and safety, will it affect your credit score? Yes, but credit scores can be fixed. At one point, my credit score was a 547.
Say it again, Tiffany. Yeah.
And guess what? I'm an 807 now, baby. What they going to tell me, right?
They be stressing me out with that whole credit thing. And then there's credit karma, credit assessment, this, that. And then those apparently are not even like your actual credit score. You have to get it from like, you know, TransUnion or whoever. So.
Well, the best to me, the best site that I found, because those are credit scores, but there are so many types of credit scores. Right. The most used is your FICO score. That's the most common. Mm-hmm. And if you have a good FICO score, you likely have a good score every place else. So I tell people, look at that. FICO. And the website that I like what is it called? Oh, creditscorecard.com. It's because when I was thinking about getting a mortgage, I went to Discover owns it. I don't work with Discover, but Discover owns it. But I will say that they don't require you to give them a credit card. You don't have to have a Discover card. But what I liked about it is that when I pulled my credit score and my mortgage guy pulled my credit score, it was the same. So I was like, y'all legit. So yeah, what did I say?
Creditscorecard.com.
Scorecard.com. Mm-hmm. Got it, okay. But just like use because they will be emailing you. Just use one of your, you know, your little junkie account.
Right.
So don't worry about your credit in times like this, unless you're going to buy a house soon or a car soon during pandemic, you're not. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would not worry about that. Instead, worry about your health and safety bills. Everyone else can wait. And if you find that the people that you're forcing to wait start harassing you via the phone, because they are apt to do. I have been harassed many a time via the phone. They will call you, your mama, and your cousin and them. Right. So I went right down to Staples with my last little 75 cents and faxed the cease and desist letter, which is free online. Okay.
Get the template.
Cease and desist letter. For real. Literally, I Googled it. Was like, dear beep. Please stop calling me at these numbers.
Facts.
You may email me and you may mail me. You are, just because you owe someone, it doesn't give them the right to harass you.
Facts.
It doesn't give them the right
these
to
are the tips. You. No, these are the tips people need to hear, because for your mental health, you need to understand how to get people to stop harassing you, number one. And two, understand to prioritize your physical health so you can actually get back to work when the pandemic is done.
Health and people, finances are like intermingled.
Yes, people are not prioritizing what's important. Mm-hmm. They're worried about their credit score. They're worried about what people might say if I have to call and ask for help. Mm-hmm. So they're spreading themselves thin and stressing out, trying to do things that's not going to help them.
And tricking up all your money. I'm telling you, I wish I would have told, 29-year-old Tiffany at the time, like, yo, leave their money. You're like, they can wait. Like that, the bank can wait. The worst they're going to do is they're going to bring your credit score down. And guess what? 5 years, girl, you're going to be back and better than ever.
Tiffany, I wish and Tiffany would have told me.
Right?
I know.
Tiffany, where were you at?
And why? I was like, shoot, where was I at for me?
Yo, 2009, you know how many things I was trying to pay off to keep my credit score up? Spending money, not having no cash, stressed out,
keeping your credit score up, knowing that we still ain't going to have the capital to buy nothing or put down no down payment on a house. So it was like, what's the point?
I will say this.
Yes.
So the point, a credit score, if there's one thing you could sacrifice, if there's one thing you could say, you know what, you could go, is your credit score, because of all the things, all the money things, the debt, the savings, the budget, of all the money things, credit score is the easiest to manipulate up.
Okay.
So if there's a list of things to worry about, oh my God, my budget, my debt, credit score should be at the bottom, because there's so many tips and tricks to raising your credit score. I'm not worried. If my credit score dropped to a 600, I would say, okay. Because guess what? Give me 6 months, give me a year, I'll be right back at it for 800. That is the least of your worries, unless you are trying to buy a house right now.
Right.
Which if you are in financial turmoil, I don't know why
you're not trying to. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Like before we move on to the listener letter, I had one question for you, Tiffany. I grew up in a household where like my mom, my grandmother, they were a part of, I'm not sure if it's something similar you guys have,
susu?
Or a susu, a pardna.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, oh yeah, mom, can I get such and such? Yeah. Wait till my pardna draw. Like, you know, that was the thing, you know? So I've seen that there are some things popping up now, like the savings flowers and things like that. And it sounds kind of
similar.
It's similar, but it also kind of seems a little pyramid scheme-ish to me. Mm-hmm. And we heard of one recently where it's like you put a certain amount of money in and then you as you bring people in, you get more. So it's almost like a susu pardna slash pyramid scheme. Yeah. I'm not sure how to dissect it. But are these things legitimate and do they work in a time like this? And if not, what can people do instead if they're looking to kind of help each other out with the savings system?
So as a child of immigrants, I'm so pissed when they call that stuff susu pardna. It's not. What my mom and your mom and all the other immigrant parents that we know were doing was legit. It was a group of people. Because I bet you it was with your aunties, your uncles.
All of them.
Because if Auntie Sue didn't have her money, they was going to her
house.
They
was going to find her. My grandmother even had one on her job. Like on her job, it was like a couple of her coworkers. It's like, okay. Yep. And if somebody was like a couple hours late with the drop or the pick off, it was like,
because
pick up,
you
it was
knew
like,
everyone in it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So susus are different because with susu, you're not actually making money. You're passing the same amount of money around. So you, if a susu went round is finished, meaning like the five people eventually get money, the same money that you put in is the same money you eventually get out.
Yes.
It's just savings. It's just like, I put my money in, 5 months from now, I see my full money back. So susu is a great way, especially for Black and Brown folks and immigrant folks, to have a way to save and to have access to capital to do things when they likely would not from the bank.
Yes.
So susus are totally
without
legit.
Interest and all that extra stuff.
Exactly. So the key to a susu is you know it's a legit susu when it's the same group of people. You don't have to add new people to get
paid. To make money, right?
The moment, the moment that everyone has to continuously add folks to get paid, you know now you're in a pyramid scheme, regardless of what they call it.
Right.
So if I have to add random folks, because you have to ask yourself, I had a friend who did it. She said, oh, I put in, you know, $2,000. I got back 10. And she was like, oh, Tiff is legit. I said, it's a scam, girl. She said, how's a scam? I got paid. I said, hello, people get paid via scam.
Right.
Like, because then we wouldn't scam.
Right,
someone's going to snatch your purse and they're going to get off on, you know, they're like, okay,
they got paid.
So I asked her, I said, if you put in 2,000 and you got back 10, where did that 8,000 come from?
Right.
Did y'all invest it?
Right.
Did y'all put in a business?
Right.
Where did that magical 8 come from? You know where that magical 8 came from? It came from four
other
unsuspecting fools that ain't going to get their money.
Right.
I said, you just came up.
You just came up.
And so that's the thing. Like, you have to continuously add new people. Mm-hmm. Eventually, there's a threshold where there's not enough people who are willing to fall for it anymore, and that's when it falls. And the early people got paid, but and you never know what, you don't know if you early, you don't know if you late, but the late people, they never know that they're late ones. They're the ones that lose their 2,000, their 200, whatever dollars.
Wow.
So I tell people, yes, you can get lucky and maybe get one round off, you know, but is it worth it? If you already tight for cash, who wanna throw away $200 for a hope I get my money?
No,
away from those. Yeah, from those, like, if you have to, like I said, it's okay. If you have a definite circle, it's the five of us. It's the 10 of us. Now we're going to start this susu.
Right.
That's okay. But it's the 10 of us, and every person has to bring in 10, and those 10 have to bring in 10. And those now we're talking about
pyramid. Yeah, it's a pyramid. Okay.
And eventually somebody going to get ripped off.
Gotcha.
Eventually.
Right. Exactly.
And it'll be your mama, too, that you bring in, and she done put her money in, and then it falls apart. She's looking at you like, you said it's legitimate.
All these people.
Yo, and let me tell you something.
People.
People try to make pyramid schemes seem like it's an immigrant thing. Bernie Madoff ran a pyramid scheme. All he did was rob Peter to pay Paul. And he continued to get millions of dollars from people and then paid the people that he brought in first.
Talk about it.
Made them think they were making money and then they just kept bringing more people. And so ultimately,
he was just passing them right.
That's it. Ultimately, somebody's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. It clicked.
I don't see any.
That would have been DeVal. DeVal would have sniffed him out. Like, wait a second.
You can tell.
You have to ask yourself, look when it came out. It came out, though, that scheme came out when stimulus checks came out. If you notice, people are, the original scam artist, the one who plants the seed, they're like, they do it during refund time.
Yes.
They did it during stimulus check time because they know people have coin and they're
have
like,
cash.
Time to dust off the blessing loom.
Yep.
And then came in at the blessing loom. I said, the devil is a liar.
Yeah, I'm a liar.
But I'm gonna put that as one of my things. Avoid scams.
Right.
When you get into times of economic strife, that's when most of the biggest scam artists come out, like you said.
Right. Yes.
So people make a little bit of money from a stimulus check or a tax return, and like, I gotta make some extra money.
Right.
Let me give it to this savory, this unsavory fellow over here with the slick back hair. He said he can quadruple my money in 2 days.
Yeah.
Avoid scams.
Out of nowhere. Yes. Exactly.
He looks a bit smarmy to me. Yeah. All right. Before we move into Tiffany, I just really want to touch quickly on any services that you offer, any special services, you know, let people know, of course, anything that you're doing during COVID to help, any programs you may have, anything online, any courses. Where can people find you to educate themselves if they're looking for particular things with finance?
Yes, no, absolutely. Thank you. So I am the Budgetnista at thebudgetnista.com and just the Budgetnista on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. But I do have an online school called the Live Richer Academy, and it's specifically for women. Although we do have some guys who are like, I don't give a damn, I'm in here.
That would be me.
I'm trying to save this money.
That would be me. Yeah, right? I'm not playing.
Right. And so, so we have all these amazing experts that come in and teach typically a weekly class on everything from negotiating to buying real estate, to wholesaling, to starting a business, to starting a nonprofit, to, I mean, literally, we just had someone who came on, she makes money doing voiceovers. And so she came to teach us how to do that. So every week we have these amazing experts come in who are experts in their field, teach these awesome classes about how they do what they do and how you can too. And then you get to join this awesome group. Right now it's our private Facebook group. There's about 40,000, if not more, members of the Literature Academy. So, because I believe that we work best in community. So there's three things that you need for success: knowledge, which the Academy provides, because when you know better, you do better.
Right.
Access, you get access through folks. So I bring people who normally charge $2,000, $3,000, $10,000 to basically donate their time. And as a result, you get access to people who, you know, you might not otherwise be able to afford.
Absolutely.
And then community, right?
You,
you want to have accountability,
yes.
People who are going to encourage you to keep you going.
Yes.
So if you're interested in joining the Literature Academy, I've got a 40% off link. You can go to literatureacademy.com to learn more, but don't sign up there because it's full price there. So the 40% off link is joinlra.com. That's joinlra for liveritureacademy.com, and join our 40,000 members and, you know, learn to take your life and finances to the next level.
There you go. I mean, because think about it. 10 years ago, Sister Tiffany,
man,
you know,
look,
what
built this 8-figure business now?
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
From
Girl.
Preschool teacher to now. Because that's what
Girl.
I said. Let me tell you that I just did a live last night. Like, how did I go from here to here? And you know what it was? Guidance.
Yes, guidance.
That you, that's it.
It's you need mentors. And so that's why it's in the Academy on purpose. I'm not the only teacher. I barely teach on purpose.
Right.
Because I said, who helped me get here? Oh, Sandy. Who helped me get Tila?
There you go.
So I literally brought my guides with me to teach these classes. Cause I'm like, how did I get to 7 figures? When I lost my house, my condo, and I owed $220 on it. I had a credit card debt of $35,000, student loan debt of $52,000. I owed almost $300,000 in debt. How do you get there from 10 years ago to a 7-figure net worth now and an 8-figure a year company? How? With no debt. I don't have no debt. I'm debt-free like my 4-year-old nephew, Roman.
Yes.
Like, I have two homes, no mortgage.
There you
my
go.
Husband has a car, I have a car, no car note.
Right.
How? And it's through guidance. And I put that into the Academy.
That's amazing.
I mean, and I have a podcast too, me and my friend Mandy. It's called Brown Ambition.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we talk about being Black and brown women and how do you manage your finances during times like this, especially, but in your Black and brown skin.
There you go, a whole financial tribe.
That's ultimately why it was so important to have you on and to continue to have you on. Because
so
of access, number one, I feel blessed that I know who you are, Tiffany, because now that I'm making money, and even when I was making a little bit of money, I could learn from someone how to make my little bit a lot.
Yeah.
Because people think that you have to have a lot in order to make more. No, you can have a little bit and build to ultimately live in abundance.
And we have to build from scratch because we were not afforded the luxuries of having anything passed on, trusts, and, you know.
And also, you don't have to have a super special talent. Dribble a basketball, dance, sing, rap, act. You don't have to have a special talent in order to live in abundance and be able to create wealth for your family. You are an example of that. Yes. Tiffany, I don't know how, I don't think you even know how much I appreciate you always coming on whenever we call.
Yes.
Always being
always ready
to,
for us. I'm like, yes. Tiffany, you tired of us yet? Because we back. We back again.
No, I love it. Because to me, the more people, I want our people to hear this message.
Yes.
I want them to know that you literally have everything you need in you to succeed.
Yes.
That is the voice that I heard inside me when I lost everything. And I was like, yo, I don't even know what to do. It was, Tiffany, you have everything inside you you need to succeed. I am good at one thing, and that's teaching.
There you go.
And I was able to take that
and
to flip it and flip it again and monetize it and flip it.
Yes.
To your point about, you don't have to know how to dribble a ball, sing it. Everyone is good at something.
Yes.
That is your bank account.
Yes.
You can tap into that bank, pull and withdraw money, and then reinvest.
There you go. Make those deposits, baby. They're important. Yeah. And I will tell you, Tiffany, since the first time we spoke, remember my my theory was budgets were made to be broken? No longer. No longer do I feel that way.
She's
devout. Talk about it.
No, I'll give you. I will definitely give you your props. I'll definitely give you. She has definitely been a lot more cognizant of the money coming in, how it goes out. We've created multiple. You know, I listen to you. We've created multiple facets for income, but also outcome. You know, so we have different we have different accounts.
We had to diversify things a bit,
so that
you know
she puts certain money away immediately that she's not going to touch it. I'm like, wow.
And
you really
are. Devout be looking at me like, okay.
Yes, because I'm telling you, at the end of the day, like, you want to really be able to, like, ball for real.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, you want to be able to see, like, yo, when I get a thing, I get a thing.
Yes.
You know, like, it's
and
like,
don't have to regret
I want
to
be able to, like, if I want to get my mom diamond earrings, I'm like, all right, it's nothing.
Right.
You got it. I'm not swiping my card. Or if I am, I know it's because I'm putting the money right back
there
on.
There you go.
Right.
You know?
That's it.
So, like, I don't want to just look wealthy. I want to be wealthy.
Yep. Yes. I love that. Well, we are going to take a little break and move into our listener letter of the day. But we'll do that after we get into some ads. So stick around.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one. To name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine. Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us, and it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for my favorite part of the show, because I love to hear from y'all. Listener letters.
And she nosy.
And I'm nosy, low key. I just want to know, like, what y'all going through? Can I help? Can I be of assistance? Can I give my 2 cents? There you go. Speaking of cents and money, we have Tiffany still on. She's going to talk to us with these listener letters, give her 2 cents as well. But before we do that, we wanted to do really quickly, maybe like 2 or 3 takeaways, Tiffany, of people who are now in this position where they're trying to rebuild.
Yes.
And I just lost my question, DeVal. What was my question?
No, well, I mean, first of all, I was supposed to ask the question.
You were supposed to ask the question. My bad. I was
so
supposed
she tried to steal
back.
My question, Tiffany.
My bad. You I wasn't even going as planned. Because I wasn't supposed to ask it. That's
You're
why
a scammer.
Me.
You be trying to steal my question. I don't trust you.
We might have a whole episode on that
pyramid
part.
Scream, right? Pyramid scream questions?
Yes, yes. That's you. You the pyramid scheme of questions.
My bad. I was like, that was not my question. No. I got a different question. Go ahead.
The biggest thing that I think people want to know from Tiffany is you lost your job in a pandemic. You don't know what your savings looks like because you wasn't prepared. How do you begin to rebuild?
Okay, right.
Like that's the beginning. Big thing. How do you begin to rebuild during this time?
Yeah.
Well, one, you first begin by hunkering down and getting rid of non-essential expenses, like I mentioned before.
Okay.
Then two, you have to look for ways to make income. Is it that you're going to start looking for jobs? Like, honestly, Facebook groups are my fave. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of times when I'm looking to hire someone, I will jump into small business groups mm-hmm. and I will jump in and say, hey, I'm looking for. So if you join like a Facebook group with small business owners and entrepreneurs, it's mm-hmm. a great space because so many times entrepreneurs are looking for digital folks. I'm looking for a bookkeeper. I'm looking for an admin. I'm looking for. So look to see what immediate ways can you start making money, especially digitally. My sister, super smart engineer, but she's like, girl, I don't have no job right now. So what she did was she was like, you know what? I can be a consultant, instantly register her business as an LLC. And now is looking, she is a Black woman, I think minority owned business yes. in a small business, right? Mm-hmm. So registered as that. And she found a contract for a school that was looking for some sort of types of classes to be taught. Right. She's not a teacher, but what she did was then she went online, found a curriculum that she could purchase. It was like, okay, hold up on that. Then she found a young woman who's a teacher who said, I'll teach it. So now she's writing the contract for a couple six figures.
Wow.
And it's going to pay. Yes. It's going to pay $2,000 for this. As soon as if she gets it, then she will pay $2,000 for the curriculum.
Yeah.
Right. And then she will likely pay that the young teacher, maybe say like $50,000, but who wouldn't want that?
Right.
And then she could potentially keep $150 for herself. But right. do you see how you have to pivot now?
Yes.
How can I make money? What are things that I'm good at that I can then monetize? You know, right now, you know, maybe it's tutoring. You know, you went to school, you're an engineer, you were really good at math. People need tutoring. These babies at home don't know. They're not learning nothing.
Yes. We have one
so
for Jackson.
So instantly
girl.
Right yeah. now, you need to be racking your brain of mm-hmm. how you can bring income into your house. And then once that happens, you know, so you're getting rid of the excess, figuring out how you can bring income into your house, mm-hmm. and then stacking as much of it as possible. So those are the three things that I would be focused on right now if I'd lost everything during the pandemic and I was trying to regain my footing.
That's amazing.
I wrote all of those down. I'm going to reiterate those on my moment of truth, but I got you. So we got number one, get rid of non-essential expenses. Number two, look for digital ways to make money. And number three, save as much as possible. That's how you can start getting back on your feet. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to listen to these steps, whether you are making money or not making money, because even if you're making money, you can make more money by doing these three things right here.
And listen, y'all ain't going nowhere right now, or we shouldn't be at least. So spending the money that you would have on that outing or on that outfit or on the hairstyle or whatever it was that you would have had to do because you were out there being entertained or entertaining people. Like, now's the time we're all at home. Let's try to make sure that we're just saving some money in the process, you know? We won't hem you up no longer than we've had you on here, girl. You know, as much as we love to keep you around and kiki and whatnot, we'll let you go. So again, remember to find Tiffany Alice, the Budget Nista, on all platforms, right? Pretty much for the most part. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds
good.
We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
If you'd like to be featured on Deadass Podcast as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com. Spell it out for DeVal.
That's DeadassAdvice.com.
Alrighty, baby. Moment of truth.
So listen.
Moment of truth time.
This is my moment of truth, okay? During times of economic crises is when the majority of the economic juggernauts you see today have been built. So let's be prepared as a people to capitalize on what's happening right now. Don't capitalize on the pain, because it's a lot of pain for people during this pandemic. But what we can do as a people is capitalize on these opportunities. Number one, pay yourself first. Your
That's
savings plan,
one.
30% of your gross is ideal. Is that realistic for everybody? No, but it's ideal. Number two, understand that your credit scores can be easily manipulated. With that being said, do not lose any sleep over not paying a bill on time.
Facts.
That is not going to directly affect your health, your safety,
and your wellness.
And your wellness,
for
especially
sure.
your mental health. Because
Absolutely.
These bill collectors will have you going crazy thinking that your whole life will come to an end if you do not pay them on time. When the truth of the matter is, you can pay them when you're ready. Listen to what Tiffany said. Get a cease and desist order so they stop calling you and your family.
Facts. Be like, stop harassing me.
Number three, use group economics. People call them susus.
Right.
What was the other term?
Make sure to partner.
Use group economics.
Through.
If you need a large sum of money, get within the people in your group that you trust. Develop a susu where everyone pays into the susu. And if you need the lump sum of money at a certain time, you know that your take happens on a certain day so you can get something paid. For example, if you have a child in college and you have to get that tuition paid on time, there are certain ways you can use group economics amongst the people around you so you don't have to borrow money from the bank.
Exactly. Cutting out that middleman, cutting
what
out
saying?
The interest, all
There's
that.
No interest. When you use group
there you
economics,
go.
There's no interest. You don't have to pay more than what you receive.
And do it with people you trust. Don't be finding random people to do these with.
Exactly. Number four.
You got mad moments.
No,
this is the moment.
This is important. This
no,
is,
I
this
mean,
important.
Go ahead, but I love it. Go
Number
ahead.
Four, we already said prioritize your health. Because if you don't put your health first, when things do start to get on the upswing and you're not healthy, you can't perform. You can't even get a job because you're not healthy. So you must prioritize your health. That ultimately goes with, you know, knowing that your credit score can be manipulated, so not stressing over bullshit. But lastly, number five, avoid scams. There are a lot of people out here right now being scammed because they prey on the fact that people don't have jobs. So when you get your stimulus check or you get a little bit of extra money, don't look for the quick fix. Most of the times when you're emotional and you look for the quick fix
desperate.
Is when people can take
they move
advantage
out of desperation.
Of you.
It's true.
So understand, these are the things you can do to get out of this rut that we're in right now, this economic rut. Like Tiffany said, her 3 points was get rid of non-essential expenses, look for digital ways to make money, and to save as much as possible. Please, I hope you had a pen and a paper and you wrote all of these things down, and we can come out of this way better than we came in.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's funny. Your long moments of truth led me to my moment of truth, which was...
Thank you.
This is a perfect segue. We act like
sometimes.
We did this before. Like,
you know
we be bouncing back and forth.
That's what we do.
Ideas
we
whatever.
It's
trying to
it's like ping pong.
You be trying to compliment my swag. My was it good? But
no.
Anyway... I would like to leave you all with this one question. And this is something that Tiffany started with. Mm-hmm. We know that the recession will probably happen in another decade. Mm-hmm. We don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Where will it meet you? Ask yourself that. Where will it meet you? Because it's going to happen.
She's thinking.
History has shown that it happens. So when it happens again, where will it meet you? Use this opportunity to cultivate, to do your research, to build your financial tribe of people who are assisting you in whatever way. And they may not be assisting you by giving you money, but they have a certain area of expertise within this whole financial realm that they can assist with. Build your financial tribe and figure out and know where you want this next recession to meet you. Hopefully with more money in your budget than the noodle budget.
Damn it, baby.
The ramen noodle budget. The ramen noodle every now and again.
I just fell in love with you again, listening to that moment of truth.
Oh, thank you, baby. Whew. I mean, listen. So anyway, be sure to follow us on social media, please. Dead Ass the Podcast, where you can, you know, comment and share and let everybody know what's going on Instagram. And of course, Kadeen, I am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Dead Ass, baby.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.